Welcome to the Word Warren.
We're going to talk about books.
Yay, books.
Yay.
Oh, I'm your host, Sarah.
Yay. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
And with me is Joy.
Hi.
It's good to be back, guys.
Very, very special guest, Joy.
Yes. And Hannah on the controls.
Doing all the numbers and stuff.
Woo-hoo. So we're going to talk about sci-fi again this month, and specifically about Star Wars.
The best sci-fi ever.
The space opera.
The space opera, yeah.
Space spaghetti western.
Listen, Wikipedia says space opera.
That's actually, well, I mean, I guess maybe, like, I've always felt that Star Trek was more space opera. But then again, they both get cast as space spaghetti westerns too.
Yeah,
so,
that's true, yeah. Wagon train to the space, so stars and all that. So if you want the listeners to go back to our sci-fi episode, you'll get like way in-depth descriptions of what constitutes a sci-fi novel. I always thought of Star Wars as like a science fantasy because, like, they have knights and sword fights and the magic of the Force and all that.
It's a lot less technical.
A little
more just, this is how it works. Just believe it.
But yeah. So you're saying midichlorians didn't make magic science?
I mean, all science is magic, right?
Right.
Magic is just sufficiently advanced science.
Exactly. True. Yeah. But yeah, so then the Wikipedia page also describes it as a space opera, which is like big space battles and usually a lot of drama.
Yeah.
The term doesn't come from opera like the stage performances. It comes from soap opera. That's really
right. And oh boy, is it ever.
Oh man.
And I guess a space spaghetti western, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally,
they've got gunslingers in space.
Western.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. that's
what Hansel is. He's a, and it was basically a wolf and cub, right?
You were just waiting for the tumbleweed to roll down. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian is lone wolf and cub. And if any of you love The Mandalorian, I mean, how could you not? But if you want a manga to read, Lone Wolf and Cub is right up your alley, 100%.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. So, I'm just going to start with just a little bit, some of the publication histories. Actually, so there was a novelization of the first movie, but it was called...
Episode 4.
But it was called From the Adventures of Luke Skywalker instead of A New Hope, I guess. And that one was published in 76. Which I don't really know the timelines of the movie releases, so I just learned from you this right before we recorded that it came out in 77.
Yeah, it was... Lucas had things fairly well locked down in the beginning, mm-hmm. as far as, like, publication histories and things like that. Again, he was trying to get money to do more of these, mm-hmm. so he was really fairly intelligent about how he did it,
right.
in... making sure to get into print media, because at the time, print media was considered a more, like, highbrow version of entertainment than movies.
Yeah. Because even, like, the comic book publications started almost, like, the year after.
Yeah.
It was, like, right after the movie came out. They did a comic book series that basically novelized the first film, and then they went until like 86 with just
Lucas was really business smart in the beginning, because he maintained all the rights for merchandising and things like that. So he was obviously making money selling his intellectual property to other people to do stuff with, which was one of the ways he was, if it didn't take off, he was planning on financing some of the second movie, from my understanding, was like, well, if it bombs at the box office and the critics pan it, because at the time, obviously, critics had a great deal of sway on whether or not you could get investors. Mm, okay. So he was kind of like hedging his bets,
right?
With a lot of what he was doing in other media.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So the novelization of the first one was in 76, and then there was a sequel that was printed that was called The Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Oh man.
And Joy has so much to say about that.
So
one.
It's when it first came out. Obviously, when the first movie came out, I was a baby, so I didn't... It was, like, in the early 80s when I discovered a lot of this stuff. And Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which I found out later, it's not a bad book.
Mm-hmm.
It is... It doesn't... It has Darth Vader in it, which, I mean, that makes it a good book right there, because there's this menacing Darth Vader about three-quarters of the way through the book who just, like, is chasing Luke and Leia down. But... It was when Lucas had Alan Dean Foster write it, and Alan Dean Foster was the ghostwriter of the original novelization of A New Hope. He had Foster write it to be if A New Hope bombed in the box offices and he couldn't get the investors he needed, it was literally going to be the script for the second movie. So if things had gone poorly, Splinter of the Mind's Eye would have been episode 5 instead of Empire Strikes Back. So there are no space battles in it. There's very little, like it all happens on one planet. 98% of everything happens on one planet. It's a swamp planet, kind of like Dagobah. It's called Mimban. And most of it happens underground. So it's there's a little bit of stuff that happens above ground, and it's kind of like Mos Eisley cantina style stuff that we've already seen before with some similar stuff. And basically the entire story is, hey, to get off this planet, because we crash landed on this planet, we have to do a fetch quest for this old lady.
Yay, fetch quests.
Who's this mysterious old woman who somehow knows a lot about the Force but won't explain why. And oh, by the way, we have to go find this Force rock.
Okay. Force rock.
Which is the first introduction of the Kyber crystal, which later will become what we use as the focusing crystal for lightsabers. At this point, it is a Force relic. And apparently Lucas had actually intended for it to be in A New Hope, where Jedi would have to have this crystal to focus their Force powers with. And then he later decided to scrap that idea, both because of prop issues, having to make crystals for and make them look interesting and do things. So he ends up ditching that idea, but then hands it off to Alan Dean Foster for the focus of this second low budget sort of B-movie-esque film that they're novelizing. There are lots of great things about the book. There are lots of not great things about the book. Sure. It really does prove that Lucas's assertion that he always had this plotted out from beginning to end is completely wrong, because there is so much romantic and sexual tension between Luke and Leia in this book. It is awkward when you view it through the lens of today. Like, oh, that, you think the one kiss that they share when you find it is like, oh my God, wow, they have like a slap tickle fight in a mud puddle. There's the trope of huddling together for warmth.
Oh no.
Sacrificing yourself. I will say the one really cool thing in the book that I really, really enjoy is that Vader comes in to take the Kyber crystal from them in the cave towards the climax of the book. And pretty much it just really like overwhelms everything like Vader does. Mm-hmm. And Leia grabs Luke's lightsaber and fights him.
Oh, nice. See, I would have loved to see Leia fight with a lightsaber.
Right? Yeah. That's the best part of the book, in my opinion. I'm so sad that it didn't make it into any of the two movies. Yeah.
Like, oh man. Amazing. Ugh, amazing. Why not? Just give us a Force-strong Princess Leia.
Right.
I mean, we got her for General Leia in some of the new movies a little bit, but...
But lightsaber.
But I wanted to see her fight with a lightsaber. Right. She should have been the Jedi. I have a lot of opinions about Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher. Space mom,
and how cool she is, and how much cooler she should have been allowed to be in the movies.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sure it's been said before, but Luke's last name was supposed to be Starkiller in the original.
That's right.
Yeah, instead of Skywalker. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know which one I like better.
I like Skywalker better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like it better just because it's what it is, and I'm so used to hearing Luke Skywalker. Starkiller's pretty cool, though.
It's kind of edgelord, though.
It's really... But Star Wars is edgelord stuff! It's just edgelord stuff!
I mean, they do reuse the name later on in video games and a couple of other things, but yeah, he originally was supposed to be called Starkiller.
Interesting. My next thing kind of jumps to 1999 with, or 1991.
Actually, there's the, and they're hard to find. I think they've re-released them since then, but there are two trilogies that happen after Splinter of the Mind's Eye. And it's the Han Solo trilogy, The Adventures of Han Solo. And then there is the Lando Calrissian trilogy. And then after that, yeah, there is nothing until 91. I've since read both of the Han Solo trilogy and the Lando Calrissian one. And I mean, they weren't bad. Kind of like Splinter of the Mind's Eye. They're a product of their era. And they're kind of like pulp fiction. Yeah. I mean, they're worth a read, but they're nothing, in my opinion, that was terribly spectacular. And then 1991 happens.
1991. That was the best-selling Thrawn trilogy.
Thrawn! Zahn.
Which, so let's just talk about how Timothy Zahn saved Star Wars.
Right. Oh my gosh, did he ever. Thrawn.
Yeah. Thrawn. Oh, Mar Jade.
Yeah.
So, just for things that Timothy Zahn created, Thrawn, it was 100% his creation. Mm-hmm. And the Chiss Ascendancy wouldn't be what it is, obviously, without Thrawn. And Mara Jade is also his creation.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is that Coruscant, the world, didn't have a name until Zahn decided to give it a name.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Huh.
Yeah. One of the funniest things about the first Thrawn trilogy, because there are three of them now, I think.
Okay.
Is that, so when Lucas was kind of like parting out rights to people to do this and to do that and the other thing, He did a couple of the books to Del Rey, I think was the publishing house that he gave rights to book writing to for a while.
Right.
He also did West End Games as the tabletop role-playing system.
Okay.
And then, of course, he gave some rights out to a couple of video game publishing houses and things like that. But West End Games actually took that property and ran with it. Thrawn, the original trilogy, probably wouldn't be what it is today without West End Games. They fleshed out a whole bunch of worlds that didn't really have anything about them. Most of the lore that we have today for the Star Wars Expanded Universe is thanks to West End Games.
Wow.
Okay.
In fact, Lucasfilms was so impressed with what they had done that when Zahn was tapped to write the next book series, they actually sent him a box set and all of the current supplemental books from West End Games and said, use these for continuity.
That's amazing.
Which is really rare because most of the time, most companies are like, just kind of look at their RPGs and they're like, oh, that's nice. You were never part of canon and you can just stay over there in the corner. This is a weird sort of synergy that doesn't usually happen. It's usually like, yeah, whatever happens over there, those geeks and their dice.
I feel like, I don't know that George Lucas is necessarily a geek, but I think he appreciates geek culture enough to see, or Lucasfilms, or
whoever's in charge. Right, yeah. Because I'm not really sure how big of a hand that George Lucas himself had in the Timothy Zahn's coming on board.
Yeah, but like, I feel like they've done a really good job of utilizing their fan base.
Yeah.
Where a lot of IPs do just go like, that's fan fiction. Ah, that's an RPG. Nobody cares about that kind of stuff. We're not going to incorporate it. Lucasfilms went, those guys got a lot of really solid ideas. Let's use that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just let's incorporate that. Let's make that a thing. That'll work really well.
Right.
Yeah. And in one of Zahn's interviews, he said that the reason he was able to dedicate a lot of time to really creating in-depth characters was that he didn't have to worry so much about world building.
Yeah.
He could just go to a source, look at it. And if he wanted to change things, tweak things, or you know, add a few things, he already had a base to work from.
Right.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, world building is a nightmare in and of itself. Right. And then there's continuity.
Well, and I feel like Zahn with his books and all that, that really kept Star Wars relevant because it was, what, like 16 years between the last of the original trilogy and the first of the prequels?
So, yeah, something like that. It was... Because they did the re-release, the 10-year anniversary re-release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we really even heard anything about the prequels.
And, like, if it hadn't stayed in the popular, like, scene, the sequels probably would have never gotten made, or the prequels would have never gotten made.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, West End Games started, I know I have the date here. They started in 1987, and they had it until 2000. So they had that property for a really long time. And they did, they just like Zahn did a lot to keep it in, I guess, not mainstream media, but yeah, definitely alive in popular culture.
Right. Yeah.
And the video games helped with that too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the video games also give props to West End Games for their world building because a lot of stuff taken for video games is from West End Games. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I mean, WotC takes over. They're like the inheritor of the game after West End Games folds. Yeah. They didn't buy West End Game. Somebody else bought West End Games, and don't shoot me, I can't remember who it is. Because West End Games also did Paranoia, which is another great tabletop series.
Mm-hmm.
When WotC took it over, they moved it to the D20 system, but they kept most of the world building that West End had done. And then so when Knights of the Old Republic and BioWare come out with the Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic actually used the WotC D20 system on the back end for their game balance. Mm-hmm. So Star Wars has had a lot of interesting synergy between medias that don't usually interact with each other. Right. And I've always found that super fascinating. Yeah.
It is really cool when we talked about Star Trek, mm-hmm. it very much was like the novels and any fan fiction and anything like that in Star Trek. They just disregard most of it.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of its own.
It's just kind of its own thing. It doesn't really influence the actual like canon properties of the show. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars is the polar opposite, where a lot of the material that was made outside of the movies greatly impacts the story and the world building, and they allow that to be a source of inspiration and make things actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and even the animated series are influencing. I mean, we have Ahsoka. She was a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's really, really good. Good way to go, because then you're not creating in a void. You can disregard stuff you don't want.
Oh, yeah.
But you can pull in other stuff that you do. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's
really cool. And we're getting Thrawn. So, I mean, right? The problem is we've killed off Skywalker. So, are we going to get Mara Jade or not? Right. I mean, obviously, she can survive quite easily. Her claim to fame is not being Luke Skywalker's wife.
Right.
So I hope that we get to see her somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm. It would be really cool.
It would be amazing.
It'd be really cool, but I don't trust the mouse.
Oh, Disney.
Oh, Disney. So with like Thrawn, like kind of re-energizing the franchise and stuff, there was like a lot of publications like after that. There was Del Rey picked up the publishing and they released what became 19 installment series, The New Jedi Order.
The New Jedi Order, yeah.
From 99 to...
Jaina and Jason and... It's the three solos.
Right, yeah.
And then Ben Skywalker.
Ben Skywalker.
And then,
thanks for ruining that too, Disney.
Benjamin.
And then Scholastic also did a bunch of publications for younger audiences. Between 99 and 2008, there was the Jedi Apprentice series, Jedi Quest, and then The Last of the Jedi. Jedi Apprentice was published from 99 to 2002, and there were 18 books in that series.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
And they're still pretty popular, because anytime we get used copies of those in, they sell immediately. Right, yeah, immediately. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because getting young kids into long series can be kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When it's a one-off here or there, it's fine. But when it's like...
But everybody likes Jedis and lightsabers. You know... Little green guys with big ears.
Walking carpets.
He's just a giant teddy bear.
And yeah, so, I mean, so also during that time, there was a ton of comic books that were being produced during that. So like Lucasfilms, Marvel Comics started publishing their stuff in 77 with just a long run thing that was just called Star Wars. I think it was like 107 issues.
It's a ridiculous number. I mean, obviously probably not a ridiculous number for most.
Right.
But if you're thinking about collecting it, that's a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So many. I mean, I will admit, I liked Marvel, some of Marvel's runs, but I was a much bigger fan of how Dark Horse managed the property.
Dark Horse did a really good job with the property. Yeah.
Yeah, they brought in a lot. So they, because like Marvel published until 86 and then Dark Horse got the licensing to it. And so they were exclusively publishing it between 91 and 2014.
Which really is the golden age of Star Wars, because that's Zahn and after.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they had so many really good authors. They also... Lucasfilms kind of mismanaged that time too, I think, because they wanted to get the first book of the Thrawn trilogy, I mean, hit the New York Times bestseller list and made it to number one.
Wow.
And they saw that and they were like, oh my gosh. So they like tapped a whole bunch of people to do novels. And Margaret Weiss was one of them.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, her novel, like several other more famous authors' novels, ended up not getting published because they kept sending them back for rewrites when as an already famous author, do you have time to keep rewriting a property that isn't yours? And she finally just said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I've rewritten this for you a couple of times now. I have my own stuff to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked away from the project. Right. Which is really sad. It never got published, and I'm sure it would have been amazing.
I'm sure it would have been so good.
But there were like half a dozen novels during this time that just literally because of Lucasfilms coming back and saying, well, we need you to rewrite this, or we need you to do this. By part of it was not giving enough information up front, like handing people a continuity Bible or whatever. And then other parts of it were like, I'm like scuttlebutt is that Lucas had stuff planned, but then didn't want to tell what he had planned so it wouldn't get leaked. But then he would see stuff and he'd be like, no, that's not quite right. I need you to do this, but it wouldn't be like super clear. Mm-hmm. And now whether that's true or not, I mean,
that wouldn't surprise me though. Like being like, I don't want to spoil this thing that's coming up in, you know, that we're planning for one of these movies. But if you're going to have an author write something that's going to tie into that, they need to know what they're tying into to make it work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. Like, just be like, hey, your like part of your royalties is dependent on you not violating this non-disclosure agreement.
Right. Which I'm sure, obviously, Margaret Weiss would have been familiar with that. I mean, but during this time we have Margaret Weiss who's writing for it, R.A. Salvatore. they're just some really top-notch authors who are writing stuff, and it's really sad that,
I mean,
you know, we see R.A. Salvatore's, but we never get to see Weiss's.
Right. Like, quite honestly, if they published Weiss's, like, today, I would buy it.
Yeah.
Like, if they were like, hey, this was an old one that we were going to publish and we just never got around to it. Yeah, like, we never had the opportunity, but here's Star Wars by Margaret Weiss. I would be like, I will read that.
Right?
I will read that today.
I don't care if it's canon anywhere. I will just read it.
I will just read that.
And and apparently when asked in an interview, she said that, you know, that she sent it back after the final rewrite she was willing to do, and that she doesn't have a copy anymore. The computer that it existed on, you know, died. And so it theoretically could be eternally lost, or it might just be sitting in some box somewhere in some warehouse that the mouse now owns that rotting away.
Disney, do us a favor. Publish that book.
Yeah, really.
Because the mouse totally listens to my podcast. Yeah,
exactly. I feel like that actually is a good segue into... So all these books that had been published previously and the comic books as well, they were called the Expanded Universe for many decades. And then in April of 2014, Lucasfilms, after the acquisition by Walt Disney, they rebranded it all as Star Wars Legends.
Yeah. Which, I mean, okay.
And it's now non-canon.
Which is stupid.
Yeah. So it apparently everything published prior to 2014, with the exception of the movies and the animated series that Disney Plus currently has on their streaming.
Okay.
that's how you determine canon.
They're an alternate timeline.
They don't even call it that. Yeah, they're just legends. They won't even state whether it's like, is this the Kelvin timeline for...
Right.
Or, I mean, what is this?
What is this?
And I mean, there has... I get it. There are... Because there were so many people after 91 playing in that sandbox, there are huge plot holes.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure. No, gigantic for sure.
And there's the most ridiculous stuff in the world out there, too. There's some stuff that you're just like, that's not Star Wars.
I mean, for sure. It's a huge property. It's been around for a long time. There's always going to be stuff. But it's just kind of like, really? I know that you guys wanted to play with it yourself, but you could have just... not done that.
Yeah. Well, and I guess my biggest complaint is that they said they wanted to go a different direction with it, but just like with Splinter of the Mind's Eye and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you can read that book and see pieces of it in those two movies. Well, when you watch Disney's This Is Brand New, nothing that's ever been done before, you can also see parts of The Courtship of Princess Leia. You can see parts of, oh gosh, The Jedi Academy. You can see parts of the books that, and I realize there are so many books that were published. So it's really hard not to retread similar ideas.
Sure.
But they all really play out a whole heck of a lot like the books.
Yeah.
Just not as good.
It's just not as good. Like, like you should have just been like, dude, there are so many books. You could have just been like, we're going to start making TV and movie adaptations of literally all the Star Wars novels. You could have gone for another, like, 10 years.
Yeah. Right? I mean, because if you look at it, like, Kylo Ren is basically Jason Solo.
Basically, okay.
And, you know, and they called him Ben Solo. Well, that was Ben Skywalker. That was Skywalker and Mara Jade's son.
Yeah.
But, because you've got Anakin and then the twins, Jaina and Jason. And Jason's the one who falls to the dark side. And effectively does a heck of a lot like what Kylo does. In fact, he attempts to shoot his parents out of the sky to pass his Sith initiation. And what does Kylo do to pass?
He kills his dad.
He kills Han Solo.
Oh, hey, spoilers. If you haven't seen that movie that's been out now for so long, for so many years now, you have no excuse, but spoilers anyways.
yep. You know, and so, then, I mean, like, the other thing that happens that's fairly similar is we've got Rey almost kills Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And that happens to Anakin Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except there isn't a, oops, he's really dead. Like, it is the most gut-wrenching thing. And this is for Abrams to just be like, oh, yeah, no, he was on a different transport. Where was the other transport? I never saw another transport. That's a big desert, guys. You would see another plane land.
Right. Well, Chewbacca's a moneymaker.
Well, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I get the want to tug on the heartstrings, but like, I don't know. It felt cheap. It was cheap. And it was like, what, 3 minutes later, you find out he's okay? You don't, I mean, granted, Rey doesn't find out 3 minutes later, but you find out 3 minutes later. And I guess if you want to, like, that moment be impactful, maybe more than 3 minutes.
I think the audience should have found out when Rey found out.
Yeah. Like, I think that would have been much more impactful.
And then they could have, like, done a little flashback to show, like, how it happened.
Yeah.
But, like, let the audience sit with Chewbacca dying for a little
now
while.
Now we have Han and Chewbacca gone.
Yeah. And it's horrible. And I hate it. I don't like it here.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it even a little bit.
And I think the worst part is that when asked about what his plan was and whether Lucas actually had this plotted out or not, Splinter of the Mind's Eye says no. he said very clearly that this was a hero's journey and that the original series, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi was about the son, that the prequel series was supposed to be about the father, and that the sequel was supposed to be about the daughter and the grandchildren, which is what you see in the books. That's exactly what you see in the books. That's, he followed that plot line pretty specifically in the books. As far as, like, whether he was hands-on or hands-off, who knows? Yeah. But that's pretty much how the publishing kind of happened.
Okay. But the movies really don't feel that way.
They don't, yeah. And I realize that Carrie Fisher died before we could see anything happen. And, I mean, we do get Rey, but she's, spoiler, Palpatine's daughter, granddaughter.
Yeah.
So, not really because the entire thing was supposed to be basically a generational story for a family.
Gotcha, yeah.
And instead it wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, though, that I have liked a lot of the movies that have come out, like, recently. Like, Rogue One was beautiful.
Oh, gosh, Rogue One is so good.
Andor was great.
Yeah, I loved Solo.
Solo was really good.
Loved Solo so much. I know a lot of diehard, like, OG trilogy fans, like, really hate a lot of the new stuff, but I really like a lot of the new stuff, even though I don't like the mouse.
Yeah.
The movies that have been coming out in the last, like, 10 years, I've been really enjoying a lot of them.
I think I've enjoyed the streaming series more than I've enjoyed the movies.
I haven't seen a lot of the streaming series. Yeah, I've watched some of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But that's really kind of been it for me right now. I don't have a lot of bandwidth to start new things.
Yeah. I mean, that's my to-be-read pile.
Yeah, honestly, I was pretty disappointed by the second of the new trilogy. So I never actually even saw the last one.
The last one, yeah.
Would that be The Last Jedi?
The Force Awakens,
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. So I saw that one. I never saw that one.
I don't think I saw The Rise of Skywalker either. But I think that was more because it came out in 2019. Like the end of 2019, and I just never got around to going to the theater, and then 2020 happened, and yeah. then I just never saw it. Because yeah. I was kind of like, I like going to see Star Wars stuff. I like it. There's a lot of explosions. There's lightsabers. There's space battles. Right. There's it's dramatic. Yes. Like, it's a fun. It's like it's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a fun thing to watch.
Yep.
And so I was like, ooh, new Star Wars movie, and then it just never happened.
Yeah. And it, I think I liked it better than the second movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Last Jedi was...
I don't like what they did to Luke.
I don't like what they did to Luke either. I was pretty...
Comics did it better.
The comics usually do.
For people who are unaware, Dark Horse did a great comic line in which Luke falls to the dark side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very well written. It's... For a comic series, it's surprisingly heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
It doesn't use a lot of tropes that you usually see in comics. It's impactful.
Yeah.
I was really, really impressed with it. I wasn't expecting to be impressed with it, but I was really impressed with it.
Like we said earlier, I feel like Dark Horse did a really good job with the Star Wars IP. Like, they did amazing. The artwork's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
The storylines are super good.
Even the paper's really nice.
Yeah, even the paper is really nice. Honestly, if you're looking for something that's not the movies and you really want to get into the Star Wars universe, the comics, to me, are the way to go. They're super great. Dark Horse specifically. I haven't read the Marvel ones. I can't speak on that.
Mm-hmm. They're very Marvel.
If you like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, oh man, Marvel doesn't own it anymore. I was going to be like, that would be such a fun crossover.
Like
for
Guardians
Marvel
of the Galaxy and
yes! Solo.
I've always wanted to see
I mean, Disney technically owns both of them now, right?
Mean.
So like, oh man.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. In a galaxy far away. They're not the guardians of that galaxy, but they are the guardians of a galaxy.
Of a galaxy. Awesome.
Doctor Strange in Star Wars, he'd be the best Jedi.
Oh yeah. I mean, they do have a mystic really class, so theoretically, right? Yes. Or, I mean, would that make him a Night Sister? Because they're technically the witches of the Star Wars universe.
Oh,
that would be Scarlet Witch.
I really am hoping that Disney does with some of the Star Wars IPs? I really want to see some Grey Jedis.
Yes.
I really, really, really want to see some Grey Jedis show up. I've been hoping.
Well, I mean, that could be Ahsoka. We could very much see Ahsoka.
Very true. She absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want them to explore that part of the nature of the Force more.
Yeah.
Like, I'd really love to see a little more of the gray instead of the stark black and white that we get with the Force all the time. I'd love to see that middle ground somewhere with the, like, Jedis.
You balance Jedi. They're important.
They are so important. I don't know. That's part of my favorite. That's probably one of my favorite parts of lore. Anyway, I really like that bit of lore. Just gray Jedis.
Gray Jedis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, I'm really hoping that they move Ahsoka in that direction. Ahsoka in that direction. I mean, she's already in that direction.
She's already very much in that direction.
Like, they would have to, I think, point the new generation of Watchers towards the fact that she's not necessarily a light side Jedi.
Yeah.
Without making her do dark side stuff.
Yeah, she's not a dark side.
Because I have not watched a ton of the new stuff. Except for the Mandalorian. So is that Ahsoka in the Mandalorian?
That is Ahsoka in the Mandalorian. Yep.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Okay. Cool.
Yes.
I like her a lot.
Super excited.
And I'm so
Thrawn is supposed to show up in her series.
She's getting a series?
I think, what is it? It's this year, September, right? Something like that. Okay. I would have to look it up again. I know it's been moved around a bit, but yeah, it's supposed to be this year.
Comes out this year. That's cool. I really liked her in The Mandalorian, so I might check that one out.
I think they did an amazing job on transforming her from comic book, or not comic book, but from animation to live action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't look weird and toony, but they kept her look correct.
Which I was worried about.
Like, Togruta, are kind of hard to... Kind of hard to do. I mean, you see one of them in the prequels?
I think. And it always looks like they're wearing like an elaborate headdress instead of actually being like part of their biology.
Yeah, and I think they did a much better job on that.
I mean, we have come
a Disney,
long...
you have money.
We've also come a very long way with CGI and special effects.
We're
at a very different stage than the prequels.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Lucas threw a lot of money at those.
Yeah. But it was still, you can throw a lot of money, but if the technology is not there, then the technology is not there.
That's true.
He failed to build an animatronic T-Rex for Star Wars, which is really where he failed there.
Star Wars needs more dinos.
It needs more dinosaurs.
They should have just pulled the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. I think Star Wars came out before Jurassic Park. I don't actually know. This isn't about Jurassic Park, so I didn't pull it.
I mean, Rancors are effective, and Dewbacks are effectively dinosaurs, right?
Right. I mean, Star Wars did amazing special effects.
With what they had.
With what they had. Yeah. For sure. Amazing. Mm. Until Jar Jar Binks.
The whole Gungan storyline is not awesome.
I still maintain that Jar Jar Binks is, in fact, a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
I will never not believe that. And I mean, nobody can change
that
my
conspiracy
mind.
Theory has a lot of
they have so many
facts.
Good points. Yeah. There's so many good points in it. The first time I read it, I was like, yep, that's true.
Accepted.
Yeah. That makes me hate Jar Jar Binks just a tiny bit less. What I'm saying, Disney, is you should lean into that and make Jar Jar Binks a Sith Lord.
No, I mean they just made him. Well, no, that's technically he's still canon. Dang it, they're just not using Gungans at all, and that's okay too.
That's fine too. That's fine too. They could have gone so many places with that, and they just left it. Okay. Do you have more for us, Sarah?
I mean, not really. The only thing is, I thought it was funny because I read that there used to be like a comic strip also that ran in American newspapers between 79 and 84.
I'd heard that too. I've never seen it except for online.
Okay.
I mean, it never made it to our papers or any of the papers around here that I'm aware of. But
I just thought that was a fun little tidbit.
I mean, so they've really spanned the entire gambit of. Mm-hmm. Publications.
Yeah, because I think even Dark Horse published some manga.
Yes.
Or something about it.
Yeah. Everything's a manga now.
Everything's a manga.
It doesn't have to come from Japan anymore, yeah.
No, but just... It's a style.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a formatting style now.
Yep. So.
I'm no longer, impressed when people are like, oh, they made a manga of that. I'm like... Yeah.
Of course they did.
It's
the hot new thing. Nobody reads comics anymore. It's all manga.
Well, and then also there was a ton of video game. Well, not a ton, but there's video games about it.
I mean, they had video games starting as early as 1983, mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of people don't realize unless you had an arcade nearby.
Right.
Because they had pinball and arcade games. And then later it was Atari, Atari 2600, the Commodore 64 mostly the video games made from the movies themselves. Mm-hmm.
There was also some radio dramas that they did for a while. I think they were just retellings of the.
I think so too.
Trilogy, mm-hmm. but they were rewritten for radio.
That's cool.
And then they did radio drama releases of them and stuff, which is really neat.
That's really cool.
It's like prior. Oh my gosh, prior. Prior to audiobooks, I do words for a living. Yes. I know how to do words so good.
And then, of course, after 1991, when Zahn saved Star Wars, mm-hmm. That's when you really start to see the video games come out for the PC. And of course, I mean, obviously PCs were in more people's homes, but that's when the X-Wing series comes out, which was literally, in my opinion, the only reason to buy a flight controller was so that you could play X-Wing. I mean, that's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah.
And then in 1995, on the back of, oh my gosh, Doom is so popular, the weird first-person shooters in hallways.
Oh my gosh.
They did a Star Wars Dark Forces, I think it was, but it was a Doom style shooter.
Oh my gosh.
They recently remastered and re-released a new Doom game too. Recently, several years ago.
Yeah, Dark Forces, I played it a little bit. My brother liked it, but it was literally, you could tell it was a Doom clone because it was just white walls instead of stone walls. And instead of demon monster alien things, you were shooting stormtroopers.
Yep.
Of course.
That's it.
Of course.
That was the only difference. It was still exactly like Doom. You were walking around in this maze, what Death Star has maze-like corridor?
Right.
This no Death Star out there.
This is a terribly designed ship.
It was awful.
What are you going to do in an event of an emergency? Nobody can find their way out. Terrible. Terrible. Don't you know what they did to the last one?
And then, you know, they do a whole bunch more of the flight simulator games because mm-hmm. they're super popular. And then in 2003, Knights of the Old Republic comes out.
That's the Old Republic.
I
which is where
that
we
one.
Have Revan.
Yes, Revan.
So, and I mean, he once again is one of those characters that has never been in the movies, mm-hmm. but made the jump from video game to, I think there was a comic book series. I know there's been some books. And if it wasn't so far in the past, I wouldn't be surprised if Lucas had eventually done a movie mm-hmm. about him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's thousands of years before the Battle of Yavin. So,
right. Yeah.
Like, exactly how many, I don't remember, 1,000 or 800. a lot.
I'd love to see some, like, old Star Wars lore, like, TV or movies that where it's just, really like, cool. like long, that. Long ago in a galaxy far, far. Well, like, just, like...
Even further back in time.
And I mean, another funny thing to think of is as far as like going backwards, Boba Fett has what, one line, two lines?
Mm-hmm.
Two lines. Mm-hmm. And they're dubbed lines too, because you can't hear him in the helmet and okay. he screws up the lines, but it's okay because they're dubbed.
Nice. Okay.
And it's all fan lore and books that make Mandalorians amazing, because great. Literally Mandalorians didn't exist until like the world got a hold of it.
And they and were like, we like this
bounty
guy.
Hunter
we
is like suddenly, you know, and then all these books come out.
I
and
love,
now we have the Mandalorian.
I did like the, I know that it's no longer, I don't think, canon, because I think Boba Fett is a Mandalorian.
No, so Boba Fett's technically still a clone
okay,
because of the
is,
movie.
Okay, so I, because I had. I,
so not born on Mandalore, technically not. Like, he'd be like an adopted Mandalorian, I believe.
Because I like
he's a clone.
I liked the fan lore that, like, the reason he wears the Mandalorian armor is just because he is a bounty hunter and he killed Mandalorians and stole their armor.
Right.
That was the fan lore that I got introduced
right.
to Boba Fett with. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah. And then they're like, no, he's actually a Mandalorian. And I was like, okay, that's still really cool. But, like,
yeah, he's Jango Fett's clone.
Yeah. Okay.
And they did keep that. I mean, that is canon because it's from the movies.
It's been so long since I've watched any of the movies.
Yay, Clone Wars.
I was really not into Star Wars when I was a kid. It wasn't really the kind of movies that my family watched. Like, some of my cousins were, but, like, not immediate family. And so I remember, like, the first Star Wars thing I ever watched was the one with the Ewoks. And I was terrified of the Ewoks, and I never wanted to watch any other Star Wars movies ever again. And so I didn't really
Teddy
watch...
Teddy bears with pointy sticks.
Right? Yeah. They're just creepy. Their faces are so weird. But I didn't really mm-hmm. watch the like anything else until I was in my teens. And then by then I wasn't like... enamored with Star Wars,
yeah.
and you've got to get it. You got to hook them while they're young.
Yeah, yeah. The production value of the compared to today, the production value of 4, 5, and 6 are
really,
not
yeah.
great. Mm-hmm. But for the '70s and '80s,
they were great.
Amazing.
And then you know, I got
it's
into
I think nostalgia. We all, it's like everybody wants to. You should start with these. Maybe not, because it's kind of like saying, oh, Doctor Who. You should start with the. You know, fourth Doctor. No. Okay, Tom Baker's amazing.
Tom Baker is amazing, but you shouldn't start there.
You shouldn't start there. The production value is not awesome.
You should get yourself really hooked into Doctor Who and then go through all of the current Doctors and then go, I want more. And then you can go
watch Tom Baker. Because K-9 makes it worth it.
K-9 is amazing.
But yeah, best. I mean, that is the problem with the original three is the
yeah.
production value. And I mean, he did the remaster, which fixed some things and then introduced other terrible things. The Jabba scene with Harrison Ford with Han Solo, at that point, Jabba was supposed to be a bipedal gangster, humanoid-ish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they, when Harrison Ford walks around him, when they put a slug that's there, right. it doesn't
right.
work.
Yeah.
He has to step on his tail. And they also had to make him skinnier. And it's just weird proportions. Mm-hmm. They don't work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have left him as a bipedal thing.
I love space slugs. I can't help it. The Hutts as just the, they remind me of like Roman emperors. You know what they, yeah. I really get from them.
I like, feel like that was
Roman emperors.
I feel like that was probably the inspiration there. I just, it's so gross. So gross. Before we end, though, I do have to throw out a, you know, because we talked about parodies and Spaceballs is the best movie of all time.
Mm-hmm. So. Spaceballs is great. It's great.
with Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
Oh, God, his face just like melting.
Oh, Lord. I'm delicious.
I also like ludicrous speed. You know how they
ludicrous
how they explain hyperspace. You know, plaid, ludicrous. It's great.
It's great. So it's great. I just.
Oh my gosh. I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
I see all Schwartz is as big as mine. Believe in the Schwartz.
So good. Oh my gosh. Okay. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Went by fast.
It went by very fast. It's because this is a fun topic.
It is a fun topic. Yes, yes.
I guess thoughts, feelings, concerns, anything, final closing thoughts.
You've got Slave Leia's outfit in your head for clothing, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I was going to say clothing thoughts, which is exactly what Slave Leia's costume is.
And Carrie Fisher said that was the most uncomfortable thing to wear because the bra was metal and it was cold and it didn't fit right.
Oh, gross.
And they tried like fitting it to her and it didn't matter. It didn't fit. She kept worrying she was going to fall out. She had to fight in it.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like the things that you have to do for space clothing.
It's for space clothing, right?
That outfit is atrocious. It's so bad.
It is a fan favorite, but yes, it is
so bad.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. I'm glad that was brought up.
Right. I mean, if we're gonna start cinema sins, that's definitely a sin. Fit your clothing to what you're gonna have your actress do.
Also, if you're gonna make something metal, put some lining inside of it.
Yes, please. Please.
Seriously.
That's gonna suck.
That would sounds very uncomfortable. No, I don't have any clothing thoughts. I just did it too. Okay.
I'm so glad that I can just inspire this in everyone.
I like that quote. I think it was from, oh my gosh, Carrie Fisher about how she wasn't supposed to, she didn't wear underwear because you don't wear underwear when you're in space because you'll like get strangled by your own bra or something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh,
it was
because like they didn't want her to wear a bra.
Yeah, like, they didn't want her to wear a bra. Yeah,
the white outfit,
whatever,
like. It showed like lines really bad because it was a thin, inexpensive polyester.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they could see like bra straps and things. So that she made some little quip about, oh, you can't wear underwear in space because it'll strangle you.
Something like that.
God bless Carrie Fisher.
When in reality, it's just like, we don't have the budget for good costumes. Just deal.
Exactly.
Just deal with it. Book club. Mm-hmm.
Book club. Oh, yes. So the book club is reading Under the Whispering Door by T.J. Clune. And it's like a fantasy novel about the Just Jacket says that Wallace was sitting at his own funeral when death came to collect him and he started to suspect that he might be dead.
I love that.
Might be a clue.
Yeah. So that one's going to be fun. And then YA edition is called Where Darkness Blooms.
Ooh.
I don't remember the author's name.
Sounds very Sith-y.
That's okay. I'll put it up on the thing. I don't know. Yeah. You can go to the website and find out what the books are. Book club books are, and it's easy
it's
to see.
It's supposed to be kind of spooky. Like, there's lots of sunflowers on the front cover of it, but they're like, it's
like,
spooky.
Like spooky sunflowers.
But spooky sunflowers.
Lighted to be spooky.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sunflowers are kind of spooky. They're
right.
I mean, they follow the sun around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. They move.
They're moving plants.
Aren't all plants.
Possessed, maybe? Just wondering.
Possibly. Right? Maybe. Possibly.
You never know.
Alien species.
I mean, creepy dolls, sunflowers. I don't see a difference. They're the same picture.
This is always any excuse to bring up Writers of the Future because which so I was reading one of the anthologies had a story in it called The Face in the Box, which was about, so the main character in it was a sunflower farmer, and it's like in a dystopian future where like all the land is covered in basically cities and there's like no farmland, but she had like special dispensation from the government to like grow a little like half acre of sunflowers for whatever reason. And then all of the farming actually happens up on these giant platforms that up in the sky. And one of them like covered her little thing. And she's like, I'm supposed to have direct sunlight or whatever, like blah, blah, blah. So she like zooms up there to check it out. And then like all the plants had merged with like the computer, onboard computer that was like, and it was like, there was like a face of a little girl in one of the monitors like talking to her. It was really creepy.
That sounds horrifying. Like I said.
Mm-hmm. Plants.
Plants.
You can't trust them.
Can't trust them. They talk to each other through their root systems. You can't trust them.
You can't. Okay. Cool. I think that's. I think we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Joy.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Joining us back in the podcast studio. We missed having you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
Okay. Bye. You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows and soon many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.